Chapter 11. It was another beautiful day in another beautiful European city. Kate sat on the balcony outside her hotel room, looking out over the Baroque architecture of Vienna. Her father came out, stood at the rail, and looked down at the same view. "How you doing, kid?"
"I just talked to Jessup," she said, holding up a burner phone. "He's been working on the Interpol leak."
"Getting anywhere?"
"Not yet," Kate said. "As long as Interpol is compromised, it's going to keep feeling like the whole world is trying to stop us. Even the guys with badges."
They both looked out at the city for a while.
"You really think we're going to find it?" Kate finally asked.
"Is your gut telling you to keep looking?"
"Yes," she said,
surprising even herself at how quickly the answer came to her.
"Then I know we're going to find it, because your gut is always right."
She nodded.
"Okay. So what now?"
"I say we go check out the zoo."
As the taxi took Jake, Kate, Nick, and Quentin past the front gates of the palace, they all spotted the Bundespolizei cars parked conspicuously on both sides of the street, along with the uniformed officers watching all of the tourists as they entered the grounds. They had to wonder once again if every single major European cultural landmark was being provided a higher level of security, now that three of them had been hit in succession.
But then, this is the palace, Kate thought.
Would they actually think it was necessary to guard a zoo?
There was a separate entrance to the Tiergarten Schönbrunn, a few blocks down the street from the palace's front gates. When the taxi let them out, they didn't see any extra Bundespolizei standing around to guard the peacocks and penguins.
So the answer is no, Kate thought.
We are officially crazier than even the most careful security analyst could ever account for.
They bought their tickets and made like any other tourists, enjoying a nice trip to the zoo, strolling through the grounds, a true mixture of the new and the old. As Professor Lewis had told them, many of the original buildings had been built in the 19th century, and it was the oldest continuously run zoo in the world. They made their way past the rhinoceroses, past the bison, past the insect house and the bat house and the snake house, finally arriving at the polar bear habitat, which took up an entire curve on the main path. It was an open-air complex terrain of jutting stone that had been built for the bears, with roughly half the surfaces covered in green moss. There was also a waterfall and a slide leading down into a deep pool of water, and a beach made from thousands of smooth stones. It was a popular exhibit, with at least 100 people standing in front of it. A huge adult female polar bear was calmly sitting on the rocks, seemingly watching the people who were watching her. At one point, she seemed to look directly at Kate, holding her gaze as if saying, "Don't even think about it." The biggest attraction was the cub, whose birth had made news around the world earlier that year. Now he was a healthy 6-month-old, splashing around at the edge of the water. Jake and Kate stepped up to the rail together, while Nick and Quentin stood together on the far end. The rail formed a large arc, 100 feet long, and the entire habitat must have covered well over 1,500 square feet. Kate noticed the fenced-off walkway along the upper rim, from which the handlers probably threw the bears their raw fish or whatever else they got to eat.
"It's big," Kate said.
Jake nodded. He was studying the terrain carefully, taking in every detail. Kate felt a cold wave of air against her face.
"Bet it's a lot colder when you get in there, too."
Jake nodded again. Somewhere behind her, Kate overheard one of the zoo guides talking to a young couple. She was speaking English. Kate wandered over to pick up on what she was saying. "An adult female will usually weigh about 500 pounds, the guide said. She was plucky and blonde, with perfect English pronunciation, and she probably spoke at least 4 other languages. Austria at its finest. They can eat 20% of their body weight in one sitting, so that's 100 pounds of meat." The young couple were appropriately impressed by this, thanked the guide, and moved on. Kate put on her best smile to draw the guide's attention.
"Is this still the original exhibit?" she asked.
"We're going to be shutting down this exhibit for a major renovation," the guide said. "The new Franz Josef Land will have 3 times as much space, with a much more natural habitat for the bears. But yes, the habitat you see here now has been around for almost a century. It was one of the few that didn't get damaged by the bombings in World War II.
Isn't that interesting? Kate said. And those doors I see in the rocks, does that mean the polar bears go inside to sleep at night?
Actually, fun fact. Most of the other animals in the zoo do go inside to sleep at night, but polar bears are one of the few animals that don't ever do that. They can't sleep in enclosed spaces, so they have the run of the place all night long.
That is a fun fact, Kate said, suddenly feeling a little sick to her stomach.
I'll tell you something else, the guide said, stepping closer like she was about to share a secret. Did you know that polar bears are one of the only mammals in the world who don't have a natural fear of humans?
You don't say.
If you're ever in the Arctic Circle and you see a polar bear, the guide said, you'd better start running, because they will seriously hunt you down.
Another fun fact, Kate said. Thank you so much.
The guide squeezed Kate's arm and wished her a great day. As Kate went back to her father, her fake smile disappeared. We are so screwed. Back in Professor Lewis's hotel room, Kate and Nick sat next to each other on the bed. Jake was leaning against the edge of the desk, watching the professor tap away on his laptop. Quentin was at the window, looking out at the city.
This zoo has a tragic history, Lewis said. During the war, they had to choose which large animals to save, and then they killed all of the smaller animals and used them as food. Then when the Russians were advancing through Austria, the two head zookeepers committed suicide.
Nick and Kate looked at each other.
Does this have anything to do with where we're looking? Kate asked.
In 2002, three jaguars attacked a handler, Lewis said. Killed her in front of everybody. A few years later, another handler got crushed to death by an elephant. Do you get the feeling this place is cursed?
Professor, Kate said, you're not exactly helping the mood here.
You're right. I'm sorry, Lewis said. I should focus on where this next clue is pointing. He held out the map so that everybody could see it. Look at the room next to this next banner. This is Gabo. It means gift.
It just looks like an X, Kate said.
Correct. That's Gabo.
So what's the gift that's inside the polar bear exhibit?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, Lewis said. It had to be before or during the war, but I can't find anything in any of the records. Of course, they didn't have Facebook or Instagram back then to show off a new toy for the polar bears. You may have to do a hard search when you're inside the exhibit.
I'll go, Quentin said. The one thing we know is that whatever I'm looking for, it'll be marked with a small swastika, like the others.
We should start high, Nick said, like at the Eiffel Tower and the castle.
Maybe, Quentin said.
Or maybe whoever hid it didn't have to worry about keeping it out of reach like at those other places.
Right, Kate said, because the polar bears would eat anyone looking for it. I did mention the part about them being outside all night, right? I found this one old postcard of the exhibit, Lewis said. He brought up a rough black and white drawing on his laptop, then switched back and forth between the drawing and a modern photograph. The drawing is from the 1890s, and I don't see a waterfall here. It was definitely added later, so it's possible that this was the gift added to the exhibit.
It's a place to start, Nick said. Let's see that map of the whole zoo.
Jake spread out a map of the zoo on the desk. There's a service entrance down here on the southern gate, Nick said. It's the most wooded section of the zoo. Working our way north, there's a large tree about 50 yards west of the polar bears, next to the zebra pen. Someone can climb that tree and watch out for any security doing their overnight rounds.
Jake's the best climber, Quentin said. He should take that lookout.
And I'll go into the exhibit with Quentin, Kate said.
Let's make one thing clear, Jake said. I am not going to be the man sitting in a tree watching his daughter get mauled by a polar bear.
I'll go, Nick said. It'll be a good chance for some more quality father and son time.
being eaten together, Quentin said. I think that qualifies.
If Jake is in this tree to the west, Nick said, Kate can be our eyes on the east side. He pointed to the reptile house. There has to be a way onto the roof.
Jake nodded. We'll have our comms on, like last time.
As far as the rules of engagement go, they'll be the same, Nick said. No innocents hurt, period. That includes people and polar bears. We're still close to a new moon tonight. No sense waiting.
Everyone in the room nodded. Nobody said another word, because there was nothing else left to say.
As soon as the sun went down and the zoo was empty, Nick Fox and his father had a date with the polar bears.
After dinner, Jake slipped away from the group and went outside to hail a taxi. Kate caught up with him and asked him where he was going.
Nick and Quentin need to save their energy for tonight, Jake said. I'm going out to get some more supplies.
I'm coming with you, she said.
Jake asked the driver to take them to the nearest gun store. They ended up in a shop in Kagranaplatz, a modest little place by American gun shop standards. It carried mostly hunting equipment, some decent rifles, but not many handguns.
We can't buy guns here, Kate said. We're not citizens.
I know, Jake said as he picked up two canisters of pepper spray. But if they need a few extra seconds, these might help. He took the canister to the counter. Do you have anything bigger? The man at the register had his glasses hanging from his neck, halfway down his ugly sweater vest. He put on the glasses and looked Jake and Kate up and down like they'd just landed a spaceship and walked into his store.
I do not speak English, the man said, in perfect English.
Just these two, then, Jake said, sliding the canisters toward him. He counted out the right number of euro coins and plunked them on the glass. The man shook his head.
I cannot sell to you.
I'm pretty sure you can, friend. Jake dropped a few more euros on the glass.
9.
Yeah, a few more euros.
9!
Jake emptied his pockets and put every euro he was carrying on the glass. Do you want my daughter here to post a bad Yelp review? The man brushed the euros into his hand, opened up his till, and threw them inside.
Good day, he said.
And good day to you, Jake said, taking the two canisters and walking out the door. The man kept scowling as he came around the counter to help another customer. But the other customer was a young man with so many tattoos you could barely make out the red star on his neck. And he had just taken a picture of Jake and Kate with his phone. He waved the shop owner away, went outside to watch the taxi pull out into traffic, and started texting on his phone.